Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy post 4th of July. Did anybody show up here last week and not find anybody here? Five of us showed up. I said to my wife last Thursday night, I said, I bet even with this wonderful communication system we have, Bob Day communicating from Italy and David Butler from the Caribbean, I bet somebody won't get the word. You know, I've told you this before. In the Navy, we had an expression, 10%ers, 10% never got the word. Well, our percentage is down to around 2%. There's about 250 guys that could show up here on any one Friday if they were all in town, et cetera. But anyway, I said, I think I'll go down just to see how the system is working. Well, there were five of us. So we got together and went down to the Corner Bakery here on Peachtree. And we had breakfast together and shared. We're all from different tables, so we shared needs and we prayed together and we were out of there at 8 o'clock. It was a great privilege. Let's never take that for granted, that we who are in the faith, we have a special relationship with each other. You can sit down with five guys that you really don't know that well and pick up right there, and in an hour you can get a lot done. Okay, good morning again. I don't know, over the holiday I had a chance to catch up on my reading a little bit. Did you notice that editorial in the local paper regarding the commission that former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn is on? It's called the Commission on Civic Renewal. Did you read that by any chance? Their concern is that the underpinnings of our democratic institutions are eroding. Does anybody else have that concern here this morning? Are you concerned, men? Okay. Their thesis is that we are focusing too much on economics. When we talk about the health of the nation, we're talking about the economic health, and they're saying that we're not involved enough grassroots. Let me explain that. For instance, did you know that Bill Clinton in 1996 was elected by 24% of the eligible voters? That's very interesting, isn't it? 24% of the eligible voters elected the President of the United States. George Bush got 19.9%. Now, speaking of grassroots, another thing that this commission is watching is the whole thing about family life. The family is the building block of society. Talking about a civic commission, I studied that when I was in high school in a little mill town in Connecticut. How many of you have been to Connecticut? Well, you know, they have a lot of little rivers that run through the green hillside, and there's usually a little town on the corner with a smokestack. And I grew up in one of those, and we studied civics back then. I don't think they do that anymore in public high school, but we talked about the family as the bulwark of society. In other words, it's the basic building block of society. And these guys are watching the indices on that, and they're concerned. Divorce rates are too high, and the out-of-wedlock birth rate is soaring. But the basic problem that these men, Sam Nunn is one of the key figures there, the basic problem is a lack of involvement grassroots. In other words, each person's tending the piece of turf that he needs to be looking out for. As we move over to James this morning, you all have your scriptures with you? This is, of course, a common problem historically. Let me point out this morning, as we move over to James, we're going to finish the first chapter of this marvelous piece of literature that we've had in our heritage for about 1950 years. As we move over there, let me point out this morning, when James was writing this letter, he was the chairman of the board in Jerusalem. He was the one that everybody looked to as their leader. There was a tendency on the part of many in his audience that he was writing to lose sight of their grassroots faith. Many were overly concerned about the Roman occupiers. You know the situation back then. They were an occupied country by the Romans, who were fierce and cruel. Crucifixion was common. Jesus was not the only one crucified. That was incidentally, this is an audible at the line of scrimmage. Did you know that the cross for almost 200 years was a Jewish symbol? Now it's an anathema because of all of the abuses by, quote, Christians over the last 1800 years or so. I mean, so anyway, the point is, he's writing to a group of people and they're getting themselves all worked up about these Romans. We're focused on economics, they're focused on the Romans. And a group called the Zealots got people all worked up. They would give impassioned speeches about how that they had to be independent from these cruel Romans, and eventually got the people to revolt, and that resulted in total destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, about 25 years after this little book was written. So this is the context that James is writing in. I mean, this is part of his emphasis this morning. So he starts out this morning, we're going to finish the first chapter in this 26th verse. He says, if anyone considers himself religious. Now, what does the word religious mean here? Religion is the outward practice of your faith. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you belong to Jesus Christ, what do you look like? How are you practicing your faith? He says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You remember a couple of weeks ago up here in the 19th verse when he said, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is the context. He's dealing with a group of people where anger and protest are abounding. I bet there are a lot of men here this morning that are angry. And you want to know what to do, right? What are we going to do? Our country is falling apart. And we're watching the Dow Jones Industrial Average, right, David? And that's the way we equate, as a culture, our health as a nation. And it ought to make us a little angry. But if we are really, to summarize the last 2 weeks, if we are really listening to God, and we are doing what he says in his word, it will be reflected in our speech. This is a common theme in the whole Bible. It'll be reflected. Your relationship, our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be reflected in our speech. And it will tend to be gracious and will not be focused on taking the other person down, but building others up. And the classic verse on this whole thing is written by Paul in Ephesians, where he says, don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building others up, that it will meet their needs and they will grow by it. That's a tough model, to only speak in a way which builds other people up. So all of this haranguing, all of this protesting that we want to do very often, it's not that constructive from a biblical standpoint. Our chairman, James, does not want his people to get all worked up about the Romans and deceiving themselves by talking too much about it. And it turns out he was right. The whole country was destroyed. I mean, hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. It's like us. We've got some problems in our country, and how do we solve them very often? We solve them by all kinds of ways. I guess this is a little risky, but I'm not so sure that spending $1 billion on an ad campaign against drug abuse is that effective. And I think what happens, the deception is when we think that problems are someone else's responsibility. The problems with drugs are essentially the breakdown of the family. Right? I know that's risky to say things like that, but that is really the problem. Sometimes it's easier to throw money at it. You remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes? He said, money is the solution for everything. What he was saying is your leaders will throw money at it rather than getting at the real issue. And the real issue is spiritual, and the real issue is moral, and it results in family breakdown. That's why we're such a good market for drugs in our country. How's that for being opinionated? And that's what this commission is trying to focus us on. That's what they're trying to remind us of. And I think they're doing a good thing. Now, this brings us to James's second point today. Verse 27, he said, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, what do widows and orphans represent? What do they represent? Why does he use that expression? They're the helpless and defenseless ones, right? They are the ones most apt to be neglected or oppressed. I just looked at my watch. I really appreciate, David, you're giving me enough time here this morning so I can relax. They're the ones that are going to be taken advantage of, right? If we want to get involved in a way, James is saying, that really counts with God, religion. If you want to be religious, in other words, if you want the outward expression of your faith to count with him, that he accepts as pure and faultless, we need to take personal interest in those who need a helping hand. And we have to do everything we can for them economically and non-economically. You remember when we studied the Ten Commandments? Which commandment is it that thou shalt not kill? Is it the sixth commandment? Remember we talked about that, Joe? That it means that you do everything you can in this world to support human life. Doesn't mean just not killing somebody. If you don't have that tape series, call the office and I'll send it to you. We have a nice little album on the Ten Commandments. Okay? And we do this by making sure, he says, that we are not polluted by this world. After orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by this world. What does the world mean? What does that mean? What is the world? Huh? It's a society without God. The world means in the Bible a society without God. Everything that is not under the control of God, right? And what is a society without God? What does it look like? First of all, it's angry and it's loud. Okay? Relative to what we're talking about today. It's angry and it's loud. It's neglectful of the needs of others, especially the down and out. You know, here I go again, you know. Just increasing the cost of their cigarettes is not what people really need. They need that. I'm sure they need to have, if they're addicted to cigarettes, at $2.50 a pack, I'm sure they need to go to $3.50, right? How's that for being a real judgmental person? Okay? It's a world of photo ops, and a society without God is immoral, right? Let me ask you, what does the media, have you ever noticed that sex is never promoted in the media in the context of marriage? Do you know of any shows that make sex or movies an issue inside of marriage? My wife said she thinks she's seen one on television. Do you know of any? Have you seen a movie which makes a big fuss out of sex in marriage? It's always sex outside of marriage. No wonder why we have a rise in out-of-wedlock births, right? What happens when you have sex? You have babies. I mean, that's kind of fundamental. Huh? What was that? What are all these indicators pointing to by this Civic Commission on Civic Renewal? We should share the concerns of Sam Nunn and his commission, the same as James was. He was trying to get the people to focus on what we are supposed to focus on. The underpinnings of our society are eroding, and we could go down. And as I discussed with Oliver Sale yesterday over lunch, the economics are going to follow, aren't they? Huh? You enjoying prosperity, economic prosperity? It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last forever, Scott. Right? Seems far-fetched, but if you understand history, that's the first step. The first step is the moral breakdown of society. And this is what James is trying to tell us here today. He's saying, keep your eye on the ball. And unless, he's saying to us, unless men like you and I get serious, grassroots, we could lose it. Okay? And that's why we're here. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to encourage men to be the men and the leaders that God wants them to be right where they are. Keep our eye on the ball. And that means, in summary today, the challenge is this. Watch our mouth. Watch our mouth. Look out for the people in our sphere, especially those that don't have a chance. And see, that's the way the Christian community should be understood. They're the people that do something that's real special. And who gets the credit? The Lord gets the credit. And keep ourselves from being polluted by this world. Let's have prayer together this morning. You think that was bombastic, you should have seen it before my wife edited it. It's easy, you know, it's easy to get angry, right? But we got to keep our eye on the ball. Incidentally, concerning my dear wife, Suzanne, she's got an enlarged thyroid gland that's inflamed, and of course we're very concerned. She goes Monday for some tests, and I'd ask for your prayers on that. Okay? Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord, we thank you for James. He's practical. He's our chairman in Jerusalem there, and he's speaking to us even today through the Holy Scripture, which is as practical today as it was back then. Help us be men that focus on grassroots needs in our spheres, in our families, our marriages, our families, our businesses, and our churches. Our Sunday morning worship will be more meaningful if we are doing the worship that you've asked us to do moment by moment, day by day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.